live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 213. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif, we are in the boon of daylight saving time here in the Circle City, man. I'm loving it. I'm loving what summer, you know what I'm saying? Well, I know technically ain't summer, still springtime, but you know what I'm saying. But no, man, I'm doing real well, man, and I know we got a great lineup to talk about tonight. I'm fresh. I got a lot of takes, not necessarily hot takes, on some of the things I kind of peeked out this past weekend. I was everywhere with my sports fandom, man. I watched a little WNBA. I watched a little USFL. I watched the Grand Prix. So yeah, man, I got some things, and you know, I got to chime in about what happened at Hell in a Cell as well. But like, man, please. Oh, please give us the rundown, the official rundown for what we'll be talking about on episode 213.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight's big show, and let me know, people. John, test it out for me. Make sure the Facebook Live thing. Last couple episodes, it's been messing up with the stream, so I'm not sure if it's working correctly with the sound and everything. Hopefully it is, but big show this evening. We've got the NBA talk, NBA Finals, Game 3 NBA Finals tonight. Boston Garden, TD Garden tonight. Series tied 1-1. We've got NBA news and notes from around the league, different teams, different intentions for some of these different teams. We've got golf talk, John, the LIV, the PGA Tour, the family feud, you can call it, between the two. I've got some takes on that. And I've kind of, in a little spoiler, I've kind of reversed course a little bit. Also have some NFL talk, Indianapolis Colts news. We've got some Indiana Pacers talk as well. Like you said, we've got Hell in the Cell, just a little small recap with Hell in the Cell and such. But the biggest thing we have is NBA Finals. So, John, I want to dive into the NBA Finals first. But I'm trying to decide if I want to dive into some comments that were made or if I want to dive into the games itself. Which do you prefer first?
We can do a little bit of both because comments.
Well, I know we're going to do both, but
we can talk about the games first. Fresh off, yeah, we talk about the games first.
Okay, NBA Finals. We have Celtics, Warriors, 1-1. Celtics won the first one. Warriors came back, dominated the second game. The third quarter has been deadly for the Golden State Warriors. Warriors have just came out and just put a beat down on in the third quarter on the Boston Celtics, both games. The Celtics had a frantic comeback in game one there in the fourth quarter. That was just crazy to see how that happened. Going into game three tonight, John, I don't know who I'm more impressed with through the first two games, if it's the Celtics and how they've played or the Warriors and how they've dominated the third quarter and kind of been there throughout, except for the shortcoming. Now, we talked about them having to play physical basketball against mm-hmm. Boston. The Boston was going to have to be physical. So my first two questions for you is, number one, who are you more impressed with through two games, which team? And secondly, kind of, what's your thoughts on tonight? And then after you say that, I will give my thoughts on tonight. And I have a little tidbit stat that I did find that's very interesting. So let's go to those two questions first.
Okay. When I think about who I'm most impressed with, I'm going to have to say the Boston Celtics, just because, you know what I mean, they stole game one. And that's what, you know what I'm saying, when you are the road team in this particular situation, that's kind of one of your goals. It's still one on their play so that the pressure is kind of alleviated off us. I think that's kind of, I mean, if I had to write a script for game two, that's kind of what happened. You got the best, in game one, you got the best versions of Marcus Smart and the best version of Al Horford. In game two, that didn't happen. Game two, I think Al Horford shot like one for four. Marcus Smart shot another. He himself only hit one shot out of like five or seven. And then you also you got – and then the miraculous – I won't necessarily say miraculous, but the hot streak that Jaylen Brown had in game one, again, him and Tatum, you know, again, they showed the brunt of the offense for this particular team. But, again, they shot a little, you know what I'm saying, in the 40s. The darn self. So, and that's from the floor overall. You know what I mean? So, but again, like I said, I'm most impressed with the poise of the Boston Celtics and coming into, you know, going into quote unquote enemy territory and coming out with a victory. It put a lot of pressure. It made Golden State Warriors have to play, you know what I'm saying? What I call it, non-casual. Cause they have a tendency to play casual basketball and let teams come back. And you know, and come back and come back not only in the game but in the series on them from time to time. And again, they had to play a little more aggressively. Draymond Green had to play, you know, what I'm saying, Bill Laimbeer basketball and that irritant type of guy. So that's what I walked away with being the most impressed with. So again, it's tied up 1-1. I like, you know, what I'm saying, Boston at home. To, even though they here's the thing. Here's the crazy stat for you, Brandon. They haven't lost two back-to-back games since the playoffs started. So, you know what I'm saying? That's just a little fact. I'm not saying the Golden State Warriors can't go into TD Garden and win one, but I'm just saying they have since the playoffs started. The Boston Celtics have not lost two back-to-back games at all. So keep that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Keep
that. Well, I've got one more stat for you.
But go ahead.
When Scott Foster is refereeing the game, the Celtics are 12-0 this year and at home. When Scott Foster is reffing the home game for the Boston Celtics, they are undefeated 12-0 this year.
That's concluding regular season, right?
Yes, yeah, regular season and
playoffs, both. So with that be said, so I'm assuming he's reffing the game tonight, right?
Yep.
nice. Well, I don't think we got a Tim Donaghy situation at all, right? I think that's just something, you know what I'm saying, it might be a coincidence. But I think what we saw in game one, we'll see more. We'll see the best version of Al Horford. We'll see a better version of that bench support. So, yeah, I kind of like Boston going to the game. I kind of like Boston winning game three tonight.
Okay. We'll take a call. I see. Crossroads Sports Radio, who's this?
Hello?
Who we got?
Hello, how you doing? Welcome.
Good.
Welcome to the NFL Podcast. How you guys doing?
Good. How can I help you? What you got today?
Well, I called into your show because I'm over here on Spreaker on the NFL Podcast. So I know you're talking pumpkin ball. Let's real quick, what's your opinion on the Cleveland Clowns and their dysfunctional team? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts, I'll go first, John, and I'll let you go. I think they're making a very weird decision, kind of keeping Baker away from team activities, holding him out. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think with all the Deshaun Watson stuff going, with two more people coming forward, I don't think the dude's going to play this year. And if you're keeping Baker away, and I know he's upset and all that and the team morale, but tell me that you're okay with going in with like a Jacoby Brissett or whatever at the helm?
Well, no. But here's what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to trade him. So they don't want to get him injured. I think it's just like if you play for my hockey team, right? My Blackhawks, right? Or my NBA team, and I'm going to trade you. So I just think they're going to get. They don't want to get injured, and he has a trade clause, I think, but I. I don't like Mr. Happy Ending. He's not worth the money, but these criminals that they are, the Cleveland Clowns, I give what they pay for. And I think they gave up on Mayday a little too much. I like the guy, but I think that's a very dysfunctional team. But I think they're keeping him away because they want to trade him off. I think he's going to go to Seattle, my thoughts are. And they give what they deserve. If Captain America, Mr. Roger Goodell, has got any balls, he needs to be the person to speak for the NFL. I know he works for them, but he needs to speak the language of money with him and suspend him for the whole year. And that's going to be the problem with the Cleveland Browns. And you don't want some disgruntled quarterback such as Mayday to play. So I think they keep him away, sir, to avoid an injury. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. So I think you had the most value with a guy that's not taking hits, not playing. And, you know, obviously somebody's going to go down in the first couple of weeks, like they always do with an injury. And hopefully at that point, the as you say, the clowns, they can sit there and maybe pounce on a trade that put somebody's foot to the fire with it. John, what's your opinion? What's your thoughts?
I would have thought Baker Mayfield would have been traded by now. What teams want it back in return versus what Cleveland is willing to take apart, you know what I'm saying, take ownership of some of that contract is something nobody could come to agreement on. So
I think Seattle would be a really good spot for him. Because they, you know, the human sock ball went over to Denver, and you already have the Hurt Locker there right now.
You don't need the Seahawks. It's got to be a desperate situation for them to want to take on Baker Mayfield.
But I don't trust the new quarterback. I like him, but I don't trust that team. I think he'd push even my Cowboys with the Piranha. I think Mayday could go someplace where, like, Tennessee Tater Tots would be a good place to back somebody up, to push somebody. Even Chicago, the Chicago Bitches would be a good place where he could step up. But I think he has a no-trade clause, I think, does he not?
I don't think he has a no-trade clause.
But I think the Cleveland Clowns are going to swallow their pride and send them down the road and get what they can get, because it is a distraction. But they've created this by poor choices, by signing Mayday, by signing Mr. Happy Ending. I mean, I like the guy. He's not worth $230 million. That's all about your system. The Cleveland Clowns are cursed, but that's because that's just the way it is in the National Felon League, the National Fix-It League. You know how it is. It's got to happen now.
Well,
you know, look at the 17 weeks now. You know, it's just nonstop. I mean,
As far as Watson's concerned, Cleveland didn't think there would be any type of backlash as far as from the public. And if they I think not to this level of degree. And again, no crime has necessarily been committed here, because court of law said he was innocent. But court of public opinion is a little different. It's a little different, you know what I'm saying? Coles, you gotta get raked over the coals about it. So if he doesn't play this year, And they say the NFL comes down I'll give you two scenarios. Let's say the NFL comes down with a 5-game suspension, right? That's still not going to be enough. For the court of public opinion, that's still not going to be enough. Okay, let's say the NFL say he's suspended for the year. Let's say the NFL he's suspended for the year. Then next year he comes back, you know, there'll still be complaints, but, again, his time will be served as far as the court of public opinion is concerned. I think, I think he plays again. No, I think he plays again.
I think he'll play, yes.
Okay.
It's just like Michael Vick. He killed dogs. He lied about it and made money. He played for the Atlanta Fakers, the Philadelphia Idiots, and I get it. But they're real soft on crime in the National Fix-It League. It's a friend of mine is a big fan of the Candy S New York Jets, and he always said he'll take 53 felons to win that. And I follow the Dallas Criminals, and I get it. I love the National Fix-It League, the Felon League, but you're part of the community, and they pay a lot of money. I would have never signed the guy. I think Captain America said you cannot sign anybody until this gets done. You won't have that backlash. In my mind, but he doesn't have the balls the size of basketballs to step up and tell these 32 filthy billionaires, listen, you're going to do with it. Look at Pumpkin Bowl NBA. They have a board of directors that quickly come down on people when things go wrong. I mean, that's one about NBA Pumpkin Bowl, where Roger Goodell is so ballless. He doesn't have the guts to talk to Jerry. I mean, Jerry Jones runs the National Fix-It League. You know, and I know it, because I've always said, I'll cut you guys loose because I know you've been on my show, is what comes first, Jerry Jones' obituary or the fifth ring? What comes first, my Cowboys? We'll end this thing. What do you think?
I'm going to say the obituary. I just don't see it happening down in Big D.
Follow you on Twitter. Thanks for coming on my NFL podcast over here on Spreaker.com. Thanks, you guys. You guys have a great show. I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
man. Absolutely.
All right, John. We are a little NFL talk, man. I like it.
Out the gate. Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. That was good to hear. And the funny thing is, I think the cool thing, we were in the middle of a show as his show as he was on our show. So we were kind of two in one. I like it. Back to the NBA. All right.
Back to the NBA.
So you liked the Celtics tonight, right? That's what you said.
I do.
I like the Celtics tonight as well. I think the only reason I like the Celtics, John, is because of what you said. A, they haven't lost a game back-to-back yet. And secondly, they're 12-0 with our boy being the referee at Boston this year. Now, prior to that, I was thinking, I can see Boston. Give me one second here. We got a little bit of an echo. All right, hopefully that echo's gone. I can see Boston losing a close game possibly tonight. And say Klay Thompson finally has a good game and comes out and starts playing well. Boston loses a close game, and then game four, they come out and they just smack the Warriors by 20. You know, I can see that happening. I can see the Warriors going tonight and throwing a Memphis egg, like with that, when they had against Ja Morant, where Ja Morant didn't even play, and the Memphis Grizzlies thumped them. So I can see multiple scenarios happen. I kept going back and forth, but I just think with Scott Foster refereeing, they're 12-0 at home this year when Foster's refereeing. They haven't lost the back-to-back game. All the odds are saying that it's probably going to be Boston. You can also flip and say, well, hell, the other teams do. You know, Golden State's due to win this. So we'll see. I like that. We got our another caller. What's up, Reg? What's going on?
Look, I am the number one caller. I'm calling
from Jamaica.
I'm calling from Ojos Rios, baby. I'm the number one caller. Give me my props. I am the man. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, man, it's really crazy, man. With Watson and everything, you know, you wonder, you know, I heard it earlier on SportsCenter, how much extra investigation did the Cleveland Browns do into this before they gave him a $230 million contract? You know, other women have stepped forward. Like SportsCenter said today, the NFL prides themselves on having their own system of penalizing players, whether they're convicted of a crime or not. You know, the grand jury didn't convict him of anything. They didn't charge him with anything, but who's to say that it won't come back and get him? And he still has these civil suits. I think 24 civil suits they have to see how you really hate to see it, because overall I thought he was a nice guy, and I keep wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt, but with all these extra little things coming on, I'm glad my coach didn't get him and we don't have that headache.
Now, Reg, what about your Colts, man? Darius Leonard out with surgery now. I mean, are we a little nervous?
Yeah. I'm not nervous. I was a little surprised that he didn't have it earlier in the off season. I'm a little confused about the timing of the surgery. We're going to be okay. We'll still be better than Steelers. We'll still be better than Cowboys. We'll still be better than the Bears. We'll still be the best team. We're going to be right where we're going to be. We're going to be pretty good.
When are you back?
I'll be back Sunday late.
Sunday late. All right.
Yeah,
I was shocked as well when I heard the Darius Leonard injury, and it wasn't the ankle or whatever it was. It was the back this time. And as you know, I was listening, and I was watching going through Colts Twitter. A lot of people were saying, oh, my God, is this going to be like another Andrew Luck scenario? I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think you've got your Carson Wentz / Quentin Nelson where – you know, you've got five to 12 weeks, and then they both came back at the 5-week period. So I think it's something more like that. I am a little concerned the fact that the injury happened not while doing like day-to-day practices. It was just a random type of thing. And I thought it was very interesting because Frank, you know how Frank does and Ballard do with the media and the twister we do there, that Frank said, well, he has an injury that we're going to monitor, and he's going to go to the doctors and monitor and see if possible surgery is something that's needed. Less than 45 minutes later, Darius Leonard put out a tweet that said surgery was successful. So,
Wow.
What are we holding out, and what aren't we holding out? people. The
Colts have been like that since Paul and dealing with the media. They don't necessarily put out the right thing, and if you say the wrong thing, you may piss off the higher powers. I was wondering, I thought I had heard a report during their little involuntary workouts that he wasn't participating, but he was there. And people were wondering, like, well, what's going on, you know? And, you know, I wasn't expecting anything with the back. That's really surprising. I was expecting the ankle still a little bit. But, yeah, that's crazy. I'm a little upset with that number two caller loser guy, Decott, because I couldn't place my baseball bets last night. And the bomb said, send me the bet you want me to place, and I placed them, and the bomb never did make the bets. So
that's not true, a
loser, you know. And I was a little upset that I couldn't believe the Cincinnati Reds. They beat who did they beat? They gave them a donut. I couldn't believe that. So I was lucky that bomb didn't place my bet because I was going to take the Reds to lose that one, and I was really surprised that they pulled that game out. Boston and Golden State. Now, if you go back a couple of shows ago when I called in, I told you it was going to be Boston and Golden State, and Boston was going to win it all. I said that. I said that on the show.
Oh, boy.
Not
the series ain't over yet.
I'm saying I said that a while back. But now I think I'm going to have to say Golden State in seven.
Ooh,
that's what I'm
switching
gonna say. I just don't think – I think Boston has the defense, but they shot their load in the fourth quarter of the first game when they hit all those threes. They won't have that type of game again.
They're not going to let Fred Yomi cook y'all seven. They're not going to let Draymond play like that in Boston.
He may get thrown out tonight. He may get thrown out.
I don't think he really set the tone by getting up under their skin and everything. I think he set the tone by playing great defense on them, you know, being physical and everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he was pushing them around and in their heads. Hey, these are professional athletes. You know, fans can't get in your head. I'm sure other players can't get in your head. And I kind of like what Draymond Green, I thought it was hilarious. He responded to Cedric Maxwell's tweet about, you know, tough guys and all this. And Draymond Green said to what, you know, it's funny how people from the 90s and 80s, they talk about how tough the league was back then, but the ones doing the talking weren't the ones hitting the people in the nose. And I thought that was hilarious.
Well, here, real quick, while you're talking that, you've got a couple minutes. I was going to save it for later, but I've got the clip, so let's all listen to it, and then we'll dive into it real quick. I know when I heard this last night in the interview, I said I had to get Jonathan's response. So here was the press conference last night.
What one thing that baffles me about the 80s or the 90s or whatever you want to call when basketball was so much more physical is some of the guys that be talking weren't the guys that was punching people. You know, like they act like, you know, guys was just walking around the court like I'm hitting this guy in the nose. There were a few guys back then that would lay you out, that would knock you out, that would foul you and get thrown out the game, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. But everybody running around acting like they were that, y'all were getting bullied. And so it baffles me when every guy, just because they played in the 80s, just because they played in the 90s, is like, man, if you played in our day, you get knocked out. Like, no, not really, because it wouldn't be you. So, okay, you saying Rick Mahorn would have knocked me out. Rick Mahorn probably knocks you out. Like, Bill Laimbeer probably lays you out. So were there enforcers of that time? Of course. Would they have knocked you out?
Yeah.
Of course. Their fine was also $2. Like, you know, it's just not the same day and age. If I go knock somebody out, I probably get fined $1 million. Like, it just don't work the same. And so, you know, when guys get to making these comparisons or talking about, oh, if you played in this day and age, like, yeah. And if you played in this day and age, you would have had to be way more skilled than you were.
Ooh.
And it's just different, you know?
Yeah.
Like comparing the physicality to the game and everybody acting like they were just the most physical and brutal enforcers. It's like everybody acting like they shoot the ball like Steph Curry today. You know, it's like Then it was physical. Now it's shooting. Everybody can't shoot the ball. Imagine me in 20 years, like, man, if you played in my day, you had to shoot. Guys did shoot better and more. But that don't mean you shot that well. And so it just baffles me when guys get out here talking and they ain't got, you know, we got YouTube and you can pull up them highlights and they ain't got no YouTube fights. You see them on court.
So, John, what's your thoughts, John?
Since Draymond took over my show, man, besides the NFL podcast, and I'll get to his ass here in a second, too. But listen, man, I think with Draymond, so again, he's a very smart person, very smart man. And, you know what I'm saying, with all due respect, you know what I'm saying, he's starting on his second career already, right? You know what I'm saying, being a broadcaster. There has been a lot of go back and forth between, you know what I'm saying, different players, not just Cedric Maxwell, not just Gary Payton, not just James Worthy. They've kind of come out and said that, you know what I'm saying, this league's about, you know what I'm saying, poor shooting and three-point shooting, and it's not necessarily physical. Draymond took it a step further and said enforcer. Okay, well, Everybody didn't necessarily have an enforcer, but there were some goons in the league that, you know, besides the guys that he named, that would, you know, okay, you hard foul Reggie, or you hard foul Michael Jordan, or you hard foul whomever, Magic, we're going to send Kurt Rambis in. We're going to send Mahorn in, you know what I'm saying? But again, it's not for me to say who has the best era, 80s, 90s, or the millennium era, you know what I'm saying? We do know. So here are the facts. They have lessened the rules. There's no longer hand checking, Draymond. Right? There's no longer hand checking. In the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was hand checking where you could almost ride a guy. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You could glide a guy wherever you want him to go. Does everybody remember? You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Shot where he was physical on the offensive end against Russell, and they won the championship. Right? So that technically right now that'd be an offensive foul now, wouldn't it?
Yes, it should have been offensive right, foul back then.
Well, listen, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, the offensive player is going to get this. You know, a lot of those here.
It was Michael Jordan. It would have called it on anybody else.
Hold on, Reggie.
They didn't call it on Michael Jordan because it was Michael Jordan. It was a push-up
on
Russell.
Reggie Miller got benefits of his kick-out physical feet as well.
Plenty of times, yes.
It's not for me to say who, again, like Draymond saying these guys couldn't play, like, stop it. There's nobody who can play in a pivot like Olajuwon or Shaq right now. Yeah. There's nobody they don't teach that. I mean, you can't teach that anyway. You can't teach that kind of Shaquille O'Neal.
I was just watching 30 for 30, they were showing Shaq against Olajuwon, you know, the Orlando Magic, talking about Penny and everything. And that dream shake was a beautiful move. But you just wonder. I saw on SportsCenter where what's the guy's name, the three-point shooter that's on that show? Now, he had a good point.
JJ
said the rules have changed. He said the rules have changed a little bit and that they're lessened up. What was the point I was trying to make? Oh, my goodness. You don't see people, though. He was talking about the wear and tear of their bodies and, you know, when they were talking about cutting down the game and everything. Mm-hmm. But he made a good point. He said back in the day, you had a guard that would bring the ball up or maybe feed it to the post, Rick Smith, and pass it back out to Reggie, and you shoot a three or you shoot a hook. Kenny Smith used to say, King used to demand the ball in the post, you know, for the shake and everything. You wonder if he had it just – yeah, okay.
Correct. So, it's just different style. It's just a different style. So, again, they playing to the style of this era. This era says, if it's a foul down low, we're going to call a foul. A flagrant two now is not foul back then.
The double technical kills me. The double technical kills me.
So, it's just him voicing his it's a Draymond sound clip. It's just him – you know, give him a little bite back.
Actually,
again,
I agree with him on that clip. But Bill Laimbeer wasn't a goon. Now, Xavier McDaniels, the Davis boys, what's the guy in New York still, you know, talking bad about New York?
Hopefully.
They took his season ticket away and gave it back to him, you know. You had some guys that's going to enforce some league justice. But you're right. Those guys were only getting a $2 million free agent bonus. These guys are getting $10, $30 million free agents. Their fine is going to be way more if he knocks somebody out. You're right. I mean, he's just absolutely
yeah,
right.
I mean,
but the league had
to
change because people hated to see the stalemate, the defensive guy. I mean, us purists, we love defense, and we wish some way that he could get some defense back in there. But the league wanted higher scoring games. And that's what they went
with.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's
well, Reg.
Well, guys,
it's been
a
pleasure.
I gotta go. I'm sure that dummy, and I've just made the show better. I know that dummy is gonna dumb down the show when he calls in because that's what he do.
Oh man.
I mean, everybody else on this show is a great caller, but that dummy Decot is straight dummy. So you guys, I'll see you when I get back. Brandon, I don't know if I'm gonna play golf Tuesday or not. But
let me
I'll
know
let you
if you
know.
Do. Okay,
I,
sounds good.
I need to see if my 10's going to be gone by then or not. So,
oh, my God.
See you guys later.
All right, see you, Rick.
Rick,
all right,
Reggie
Spikes. No, oh, no, number one, you said?
He said it. He called internationally, man. You know, that call probably cost him $85.
I know, right? All right, looks like we got caller number two, dummy. What's up, Decot?
Don't say that. Decot.
Hey, he borrowed the money from me. He borrowed the money to call
for
me.
He said you didn't put that in for him.
Man, listen, I'll tell you guys some stuff off the air. Don't worry. But listen, I'm going to get to this J.J. Redick and all this crap. And of course, Draymond Green. Listen, it's easy to talk when you got two of the greatest shooters, the best offense that's been run in probably the last 20 years, to talk all that mess, right?
Right.
What he's missing is this. When a guy blows on a guy, and a guy throws his arms up as if he's getting hit, and he doesn't get hit, that's a foul now. That wasn't a foul in the 90s, right? So what Draymond is missing, and I'm telling you guys need to listen to my man on NBA TV, XM86, and that's Mr. Johnson, Eddie Johnson.
Oh,
he
geez.
Breaks it down. I'm going to tell you why.
I listen, but I just can't get on with Eddie. It's just monotone.
I'm going to tell you why. Because what he talks about is facts. And what he talked about today was these guys love to talk about what did happen. They were babies then. They weren't watching. Current players today are being watched by players of the 90s. So that's the difference. So you can YouTube all you want. You can do all these things and all these – snide comments that the Draymond Green talks about, and that's all cute, right? Because he wants to be a podcast specialist. That's fine,
right?
But it's not fact, right? Facts are facts. You can't dispute those, right?
I think we kind of, you know, what I'm saying we're whistling the same little tune here. I mean, Reggie brought up a good point, and as I was trying to reinforce, there was a rule change again. Like those teams, some of the Ravens and whatnot got the TV people got tired of those Detroit teams, those New York Knicks teams.
Right, right.
But I think what the fans really want is like what they had in the mid 90s as far as the rules. Nobody really wants to, like, you know, say drop your, like, I can remember Larry Bird and Kareem, I was a little shorty. When Larry Bird was fighting.
Right.
I think that was 87. Yeah, nobody really wants to see that or that mid-air collision when McHale took out
Rambis. Took out Rambis, exactly.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But I think people kind of want to see that late 90s, 96, 97, that type of rule calling.
And Jonathan, you're right, right? The only thing you've been wrong about was when you spoke in Reggie and number one. I won't give it to that. We'll talk about another time. But my point being is this: you can talk all this mess about, well, back in your day and back in your day. The difference is it was basketball. This is not basketball. When a guy goes to the basket and you see all the videos, and supposedly your best player in your league goes to the hoop, falls down, and that's why guys are more injured now. They're falling all the time. You can sit there and say what you want. They're falling on wood, right? So when guys do that, that putting hit on their bodies, right? But they don't want to talk about that because now the talk is, I'm selling the call. It's no longer called flopping, if you notice. It's called selling the call. Draymond Green is going to make a lot of money because he's riding the coattails of great players. He's along for the ride.
Right.
He could never hold the jockstrap of Charles Barkley. He talks about rings. I'm gonna tell you this
again. He has a distinctive skill set. Right, DK. He has a distinctive skill set.
Right.
I don't know if he's a starter. I'm gonna tell you like
no,
that.
No,
and again,
no,
I'm not saying,
no.
I don't know if he's a
triple
starter.
Triple single. It hurt his feelings.
I don't know if he's better
Charles
than Anthony Mason.
Triple single.
Listen, I don't know if he's better than Anthony Mason on the next one. If it's 90, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you this, Jonathan, you are so right? He is Anthony Mason 2.01. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's a talker. That's why the point one. Anthony Mason didn't talk. He did it, right? And this guy is out there talking about what he is and what he isn't. When you don't have – and this is in the neighborhood. And you know, Eastside, you don't have to talk about what you are. They know what you are. You don't have to talk about that. So when he sits there and talks about his podcast, and I'm going to tell you this, Jonathan, I disagree when you talked about how intelligent he is. No, he's playing the system for what it's worth right now. I question his intelligence because he puts his team in jeopardy. What he wants to do is be the distraction.
Sure.
He wants to be Dennis Rodman, Bill Laimbeer combination. He's neither. He's not the player either were. And he can sit there and talk this mess he wants, but I'm telling you, he's not taking any pressure off those 2 3-point shooters because the offensive game they have fired him, not because of him. And I mean, that's a fact. And I'm not a fan of his. And but most people who are real basketball fans, they aren't fans of Draymond Green. He I'm a grown man. You don't stand over me. My kids are in the stands. Who says dumb stuff like that?
What game
was he suspended
back in 2016? Was it game 6 he was suspended?
Yeah. No, it was game
everybody
5.
No, game 5.
Game 5. Came on
but my point being is you put your team in jeopardy, and all you do is yap, yap, yap. He's trying to get – listen. He's calculated. He's not smart. So, Jonathan, no more can you say he's smart. He's calculated.
He's calculated.
And what he's doing
is
he's trying to do is get to Boston's best three players by disrespecting them verbally out loud so they can get fired up.
That's kind of like Red, isn't it?
Well, no, not really because I just ignore him. But the difference is going to be this, right? The difference is this. Can the coach get his players to understand who this bum is? I said bum, yes. Because when you're averaging a triple single, think about this. Last year and the year before, remember when Steph was out and Clay was out? Remember, he's an all-star, right? He's a superstar.
And with him and Durant,
No. This is after Durant. Pull his stats.
Okay.
Pull his impact. And they talk about how he makes everybody greater. Remember what the dude from Duke, you all just talking about. The dude from Duke said he makes people greater. Tell me who he made better in the season where they got the number one pick, James Wiseman, who I hope will be a Pacer, if not next year, the year after.
Oh,
that's another
Lord.
Story. And I'm just – because there's some other things I'm thinking about behind the scenes. So stop it, Brandon. Don't be bullying me. But my point being is, who did he make better that season?
Steve
I didn't
Kerr.
Hear him talking that season. Yeah, I didn't hear him talking
right.
that season. So stop with the – here's the deal. It's sensationalism is what they call it, right? And he's great at propaganda, sensationalism, and exploitation. That's who he is. You know who he is? He's a clown circus. He's a circus clown. It's a concept. He's a circus clown.
Oh, man.
Who brings the attention to things to distract you from something else. You know what a magician does, right? He distracts you so you won't see what's really going on. That's what he's trying to do,
Ooh.
Man. Stop buying that crap, man. Stop. I mean, I'm not like
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I gave somebody asked me at work about Draymond, and I did the comparison as well. I said, you know, I he's just a modern he's a modern day Anthony Mason. But somebody said, well, I would take him over. They said, well, he's got such and such with the value he brings to the team. If he was on the Pacers, he'd be greater than what David West was. I said, that ain't true. Not at all.
David West is light years ahead of him. David didn't talk out of Xavier University. He didn't talk, right?
He
played his
right.
game, right? He's a man of standards. This chump is not a man of standard. David West walked away from $11 million because he didn't like what Larry Bird did, right? I'm just, and you all know this. He's a man of standards. Draymond Green doesn't have standards, because if he had standards, he would have played like a ball player 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Well, three years ago when they got the number one pick. He was a bum. He was a bum and a sideshow. Anybody who disagrees with that, go to the tape. Don't talk to me. Go to the tape. Hmm. He did make a difference, and I'm still challenging you. Tell me who he made better in that seat. Nobody. And so that's all I'm saying, man. These guys got this propaganda going, and oh, he's a great soundbite, so they listen to that.
Well, right.
You
gotta
watch it. And I'm not trying to be like Mr. Basketball 1.0, but you just got to watch it, man. Turn your volume down on your television. Turn your volume down on your phone. Yes.
How many days? We got 180 days or more to Texas A&M and Alabama.
Oh, man. Listen, the Wi-Fi gave me the pass for the whole weekend. The whole weekend, man. So we can do the show. Oh, listen, because she knows if Bama lose, I'm going to probably snap. I'll probably burn the house down. But I got a whole pass the whole weekend, man.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Whole weekend.
That's good enough.
So whatever works, we can do the – hey, Jonathan, we can do the East Side Hangout if you want to. Whatever works after the show, we can do whatever works, man.
Hey, let me ask you this. I just got an email from our boys, but where are they having this draft party at?
Oh, Carmel Center. I'm in my garage, so let me get out of here so the echo.
Midtown Plaza?
Carmel Center. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me, man. It is. Listen, there's nothing better, man. It kills the brothers that are downtown, right? Even the other brothers on the other side. But I'm going to tell you, June 23rd is going to be a killer, man. That place is immaculate. It's got an upstairs, downstairs. It's got an outside. They're going to have a big – they're going to have like a 100-foot screen up for the draft going on. I'm telling you. Listen, they're not cutting corners, man. No corners cut.
They better not if – because I'm telling you, there's going to be a chorus of boos if they screw this up.
Listen, bottom line is this. One of the things I don't like about my boys – I'm glad you brought the Pacers, because I'm tired of calling in here and not talking about my Pacers. I've got to talk about them every call. They're doing this smoke screen deal, right? Oh, we're going to go do this, this, and this. I think they've got a guy in mind. And I think they're trying to do the old bait and switch, right? What I'm looking at, if the kid from Purdue isn't available, what I think that the Pacers need to do is take 31, and take 60. You've got Turner. You've got Malcolm Brogdon. You have to shake it up. I'm not talking about one guy here. You remember we got the kid from North Carolina, Psycho T, and blah, and Bird was, oh, he's like a number one pick. Oh, no, stop it. Stop it. Be realistic about it. They have to do something. You can't go and take six. You can't go and take 31. And you can't go and take 60 and say, hey, this is our future. Because I'm telling you now, it's not going to be a very happy place in Banker's life. So they got to do something different than that, man. So I think this is their opportunity to take those picks. If you don't your guy
outside of the draft pick, outside of the draft pick, D-Kai, I kind of hear what you say. Outside of the draft pick, I know it's gonna sound crazy to Brandon when I say this. I would take Brogdon and Miles Turner, and if Philadelphia wanted them, send us James Harden. I know it ain't going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Are you,
Jonathan,
are you – so here's the deal. So, Brandon, you know, Jonathan clearly has no TV in his house. But clearly he didn't see the playoffs or the season in 2022.
Now so did Michael Brown.
Man, listen. But listen, we've already said that. We've already said that. That's a good.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. All right?
I can't believe Jonathan. You said that. You said that.
I can't,
loud.
He
you
said that. I'm going to cut that audio.
We heard that.
Jonathan, I'm cutting the audio.
The gentleman's club in the 317 and probably, you know what I'm saying, even in the 219 and even up in Fort Wayne, they love it. Get James Harden in here for 3 years. Why not?
Stop it, John.
Jonathan.
You don't even believe
Jonathan.
That.
But Brandon, can we cut his mic off or something? Can we cut his
no,
mic
we
off?
Cannot.
I can't.
He doesn't even believe
are
that.
Are you? No. Well, let me. Are you?
I'm tired
kidding?
Of Miles Turner. I'm tired of Miles Turner. And Malcolm Brogdon was a shiny new nickel the day that it. You know what I'm saying, that he signed with the Pacers, but then
listen,
we clearly
you know
found
what
out
I said
why.
About him. You know what I said about him.
Yeah, we clearly found out why.
He peaked his rookie season.
So,
yeah,
Jonathan, you
want
James Harden. You said you would not mind having James Harden on the Pacers, correct?
Oh,
for
man.
That deal.
Come on.
Not for our lottery pick. If you tell me I'm trading Malcolm Brogdon and Miles Turner, bring on James Harden. Why not?
Well, then, hell, let's just get the band back together. Let's make another trade and get Russell Westbrook in here, too. Let's just get the band together.
Hey, let's just go ahead and get Russell Westbrook and take on the beard and just get rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, ain't nothing else out there. We're going to trade back and get Paul George?
No.
Jonathan, I'm probably going to call you after the show. I'm serious.
Oh,
I'm probably going to call
fine.
You.
I haven't been drinking.
Well, I had one. But I'm home now, so I'm good. But come on, man. Listen, we got to do something
different,
right?
You said a big swing.
Right?
That's a big swing.
That's not a big
swing.
He's 33 years old and on the downhill. You know who he is? He's George McGinnis when we got him back for Denver for Alex English. That's who he is, man.
Okay.
And I know most listeners don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, what the hell are you talking about?
They know. This, our demographic goes from 21 to 55, man, so they know.
Hey,
yeah,
Deacon, this pretty much explains Jonathan right here.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
that's Double D who no one loves, right? But that's what I'm saying, man.
I love it.
Listen, I'm okay with getting the sixth pick, but something has to change. And it's not a 33-year-old James Harden. It's not a 32-year-old Russell Westbrook, right? We have to be ascending players, not descending.
I never said trade pick six. I want to keep pick six, but I don't think the guy that they – go ahead.
If he's descending, he needs to be David West descending, right, who still has something tangible to offer. David West was descending when he came to us. When he was in Charlotte, he was a difference maker. But what we needed him to be was what he was for us.
Right.
These guys aren't those guys, man.
On the team. Right. Right.
It has to be a level of humility, Jonathan. Neither of those two guys you just spoke about have an ounce of humility. David does. And that's why he left that money on the table.
You gotta get the right motivation in front of James Harden. And I know where they got it, but I'm not gonna speak those places on this phone. But I gotta get the right motivation.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Okay, good point. No, never. But good point. So check this out. So you say, okay, bring Harden in, right? So what you have is now you got an old school coach who's inflexible. He's shown that.
You're not a believer in his anyway. You don't believe in him anyway.
Point. That's my point. You know what it's like? It's like putting chili with grilled shrimp.
Well, I'm not the one that came up with this idea. Our good buddy Danny Bridges, who writes for the Indianapolis Recorder, threw this out there in the Twitter sphere.
Oh, Lord.
And he was like, why doesn't Carlisle move up to the front office? They hire Quinn Snyder, who I'm going to tell you right now, in the last five years, he's a better coach than Carlisle. Again, and I'm a Carlisle guy. I know that you're not. I'm saying Quinn Snyder. Again, that's kind of weird to me what happened out there in Utah. But they also, it's not necessarily weird because Danny Ainge and Dwayne Wade are kind of running Utah right now. So, again, and they probably want to blow it up and all that. So Quinn probably wasn't part of the plan. Quinn Snyder is definitely going to find a new home, right?
Indiana.
But that Turk piece.
Whoa. Brandon, don't try to slide that in. You said Indiana Pacers or Indiana
Racers? Yeah, he's talking about the
Indiana Pacers.
No, he's talking about the Pacers.
Well, Pacers. Listen, Larry Bird is married to Carlisle, okay? So that ain't We got to talk real.
That's nothing our buddy said.
He's unwilling. He's unwilling. And I don't. And I used to look at the recorder, but I don't get out much anymore. Larry Bird's
it's online.
To say Rick Carlisle was a mistake. So
the
challenge
time around,
is this.
Yeah.
Let me ask.
He's unwilling.
Let me ask you this, because this is where I'm a little concerned, and it could be telling. So the Pacers have brought 14 players in for pre-draft workouts so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple days left for them to have more workouts. You realize that they haven't brought a draft prospect in that's in the top 20 yet in for a draft
I'm
workout?
Tell you why.
Isn't that a little concerning?
No, not at all. Not at all, because they never do. That's who, listen.
Well, they've never had this position before either.
Well, no. Listen, when Psycho T and all these team draft picks, listen, they outthink themselves. And this is a typical of the worst front office in the NBA. Like I said.
Well, it should be concerning then.
Here's why it's not concerning. Because they are who they are.
Orlando's still out here.
I've seen this movie before.
Sacramento's still out here.
Sacramento's still out here now. We ain't
the Knicks are still out here. Because I've seen it up close. I've seen this movie before. They're going to say, hey, Louis, we outthought everybody.
And you're going to be right there in that front row watching that big screen on
no,
it.
No, not front row. Row 14, seats 19 and 20. Get it right there, Brandon. Get it right. But the point being is this. It's the same show. They're thinking they're going to outthink somebody else. They don't do that. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Listen, man, I've been through this for the last year, man. Don't get me – see, you, Brandon, it's your fault. You got me started on this. But my point being is, it's simple. Wrong front office, what we have, 31 and 60, and two very movable assets, Turner and Brogdon. Wrong guy. I got zero faith that there's going to be a difference-making draft process in what's going to better our team. I've got zero confidence. The only reason why I renewed, because, man, deep down, I'm thinking about Slick Leonard, Darnell Hillman, George McGinnis, Billy Keller. Mm-hmm. Those are my guys, man. That's why, man. I mean, real talk.
The shooter, Billy Keller. Absolutely.
All right, D-Cott.
Yeah, from Purdue, yeah. From Purdue, but hey, Brandon, he's from Purdue. So give me some credit, man.
I am.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why, man. So listen, Jonathan, I'm gonna call you because we gotta talk, man. We gotta really talk. But listen, I love the show big time. I can't wait till October comes when Bama A&M. But if y'all wanna do something sooner, let me know. All I gotta do is ask the wife. If I get the okay, I'm good.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, D-Cott.
Appreciate you all. Have a good time. Good night, fellas.
All right, John, D-Cott. Woo! Coming in hot.
Yeah, all of them been hot, man. Do we want to take another call, or do we want to take a little commercial break?
Let's take a commercial break. Let's reset, regroup. It's been a caller type of show tonight. So let's regroup. We'll take some quick ad reads. We come back. We'll talk NBA. I got some golf talk. Hell, take your calls. You want to call back in, call back in. If you want to call in, call in. We're on another podcast show. So call in. We'll get on you. We'll be back.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic, and commercials available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Yep, you heard me. They ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom auto accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Give them a call today, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Check them out, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back. I'm getting ready to tag you on Twitter with something in a second, John, because I never thought I would ever, and I have to cut the audio because I've never thought I would ever hear you say you would like James Harden on the, you wouldn't mind having James Harden on the Pacers. That's baffling to me. And I think you've been drinking too much. You've been drinking early. 5 o'clock started early, way too early over there. So John, I want to dive into, we'll go back to the NBA. I want to dive into the golf game, the craziness going on right now between the PGA Tour and also the LIV Tour. The PGA, John, they just had the Memorial this past week. We've got the U.S. Open, that's next week. LIV, the new Saudi-based back tour. Phil Mickelson is on the tour. Dustin Johnson came out last week. He's resigned from the PGA. He's going on to the tour.
Wow.
You've got several names. Then today it was noted that Bryson DeChambeau is heading there. Patrick Reed is heading there. Most likely Ricky Fowler is going there here soon. Brooks Koepka's brother is there, some of these guys. It's. I'm going to tell you this, and I'll give a little quick synopsis on this. The LIV Tour is 48 players. It's a 54-hole event. So LIV, let's get it right. How is it named? Why is it called the LIV Tour? Well, it's 54 holes, only three rounds, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 54 holes, and also the LIV for LIV is the Roman numeral for 54. It's also the score if you birdie every single hole. It comes out to a 54 on a par 72. So that's where they got the name for it. It's a Saudi-based league. There's a lot of controversy with it because of the blood money and them trying to kind of show the modern Western world civilization, hey, we're just like you guys, but yet they're back there hating gays and no rights for women, those type of things, whether beheading people. But they're trying to use sports to cover it up, as they've done before in the past with WWE, those type of different things, events over there, sporting events and stuff, just to try to cover it up. But when it comes to golf, having these guys go over there, the first tournament starts this weekend on Friday. They're getting paid some millions of dollars to do this, and it's only 8 events right now for this year. It's 12 events the following year. It's not all over there, too. There's five matches over here in the United States this year. So it's not just all over there. But it's a different format. It's teams. It's teams. Each team has different logos and colors. You're competing against another team. There's no cuts. It's a different brand of golf. It's a more exciting, I feel like, from what everything I've read and seen. I'm on board with it. I turned my head. I said, you know what? The PGA, I know it's a prestigious gentleman's thing, but it's time to refresh a little bit, okay? And it's the PGA's own fault that they're in this position, because if they wouldn't have been saying, we're not letting you do this, or we're going to get stiff fine, they're just bringing to light more of this other alternate league is what they're doing. And we're going to fine, suspend you. Well, you're going to start opening court cases up, because these golfers are kind of like independent contractors that pay to compete in any of these matches. And who is to say that compete in this one, you can't compete in this one. They don't have any say over the majors except for the PGA Tour championship, that one. So these guys can compete in the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open. They're open to compete in all those. And those companies have said, majors have said that. I don't have a problem with making a living, doing what you got to do to make money for your family and support. Dustin Johnson has $87 million career earnings, and he went on the tour in 2008. Okay. 87. He's playing on. He signed a 3-year deal with the LIV Tour. And he's getting paid $125 million. You win first place, $20 million for the prize pool if you win first. And you're telling me I'm going to go over there as a Dustin Johnson, the former number one player in the world, and I'm going to go up against these guys that are lesser talents than me with a smaller field. I'm going to go make money for 3 years and move on. Because as he said, as Graham McDowell has said, and as Louis Oosthuizen has said, we have other things we want to do outside of golf for a living. And this will financially set my family and myself. And yeah, you say, yeah, most of these guys are on the downside of their career. Absolutely. There's some guys, Taylor Gooch, he just got on the tour 4 months ago for the first time. And he's going over there to play to make a living. There's a 15-year-old that's from India that's playing on this tour. He's supposed to be the next phenomenon. He's playing on this tour to make money and support his family. In the end, and I'm going to wrap it around basketball, in the end, there's a lot of things that are shady. I mean, we could sit there and talk about how the NBA has been taking money from China for how long, and China's corrupt. Come on now, right? Well, we don't talk about that anymore, about the NBA and taking money from China and all this. Each league has their downfalls, okay? And I understand the repercussion with it, but when push comes to shove, John, I think you're going to take care of your family, how you have to do it, best fit. I'm going to do the same thing with my family. I think at some point the PGA Tour is going to either have to say, hey, we'll suspend you for a year or fine you, but then you can come back. In the end, I think it's going to be opened up to where you can compete on both and go like that. The PGA is going to have to lighten the rules up, because if not, guess what? They're going to lose a lot more guys. You don't tell me you don't think Brooks Koepka is sitting there watching his younger brother, who's very untalented, who's ranked like 400th in the world ranking, is going over there right, and is going to make a cool 40-some million dollars this year while Brooks is in the top 10, not making anything here? Come on now.
Right. So
going to go over there too.
So I get it. This new league or whatever association is bankrolled by oil money, and we know how long oil money is longer than, you know what I'm saying, oil money by countries, right? But I'll probably go the other route. I get it. It's a free market. You know what I'm saying? It is. It really is a free market. So, because again, you know, I know you don't watch USFL as much as I do, right? On a Saturday, it's all here. But as soon as those contracts, if those contracts ever start to swell, you'll see players turn and be like, oh, well, wait a minute. I can go over here and make X amount. I mean, right now, the average USFL player is making $45,000. So again, ain't nobody retired, whether it's Kaepernick or you know what I'm saying, or Blackball or whatever, Tim Tebow, they're not going to play for USFL for $45,000 a year. They play for $45,000 a game. You know what I'm saying? So it's an open market. So I get it. But so like, who's to say that if this league falls flat on his ass in less than two years time, and like the eyes of the world aren't watching? You know what I'm saying? We don't have total buy-in from the ESPNs of the world, from the Fox Sports of the world, from the Crossroads Sports, you know what I'm saying? I want to add our 2 cents in there, too. And we're not watching it because, again, it's already kind of set in stone where people watch the U.S. Open. People's already kind of set in stone where people are – it's eventful. You know what I mean? So, okay, Brandon, let me ask you this. Let's say another. I'm not going to pick on the United Arab Nations who bankrolled this particular association. Let's say somebody else does it. A different country, whatever, different organization outside of the United States wants to bankroll a race that happens on Memorial Day, an IndyCar race that happens on Memorial Day.
It has happened.
You know
before.
What I mean? Well, it has. So I that's right. I'm glad you said. And then what happened to it? Because everybody
defunctive.
Still comes to it. Right. So everybody still comes. So I think some guys aren't going to go because they want to do the long. They're going for the long money. Whereas Dustin Johnson, correct me wrong, you just said it. He was number one golfer in the world and he's already won. Hell, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I asked. Remember? I said, does he have to win the Masters? He's like, nah, dude. He's already won enough. So like, what?
He's already won the
Masters.
Wasn't
Justin Johnson who I was referencing in. It was
you're thinking of Rory. You're talking about Rory.
Yeah, right. So what difference – so, like, once you start winning certain majors,
and correct me if I'm wrong, right? The Masters is separate from the PGA Tour. If you're winning third, if you already won certain majors, and then all of a sudden they give you this big blanket check for $40 million, unprofit, whatever the case may be, of course you're going to go because you're still going to be chipping that, you know what I'm saying, chipping that chip at the FedEx, whatever, to make a $4 million paycheck when they already paying $4 million for the first game that you already playing. But
exactly.
Saying,
it's a lesser schedule, too. You're making more money. It's a lesser schedule,
Brandon,
less injuries.
But if you don't have the business rules, right, so if you don't have the eyes and ears and the buy-in and the media attention to make it eventful, they'll be running back. That's all I got to say. Again, I'm all for the open market situation. Go ahead.
I think the league's going to work. Streaming-wise, they're going to stream it on Facebook. They're going to stream it on YouTube. And somewhere another platform, but that's what's going on these days. Oh, somebody's like, oh, it ain't gonna matter. You know how many people live stream YouTube all the time?
Sure.
Do you know how many people live stream stuff on Facebook all the time? Races or F1 or anything. I think this league is refreshed. I think it's something they need to do. I even think, you know what, PGA, if you're really that desperate and you're like, you want to keep what you can and you want to like maybe do a silly season towards the end, maybe the last 4 months, because they already have too many events where people don't give a shit about. I'm sorry, but there's no Twitter talk. There's no Facebook production. There's no talk on social medias about a lot of these tournaments like the Memorial or the Farmers Open or the John Deere Classic shout out, or some of these other ones like the Taylor Mortgage, Rocket Mortgage, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, whatever tournament. There's no talk of it. So get rid of some of those, maybe lessen the season, get it over in August or July, and then the second half of the season, why not do this team concept? I think it'd be fun to have a draft like they did last night, and I watched the players get to pick their teams and draft. Why not do that and have like a team tailor-made, have a team Titleist, or have a team Nike or whatever, and have these colors, have the gear, have the fans out there and show their allegiance to what team they like. Kind of like F1, right? Have them come out there. Mm-hmm. Introduce the new stealth driver for TaylorMade. Maybe have that hidden and have this team come out and show it. Just spice it up. Change it up a little bit. You have too many tournaments. Get your fans. I think this is something the PGA wanted to do at some point. But the fact is, Liv said, hey, we'll do it. We'll do what we do to take care of people. Now, here's my thing also. Dustin Johnson, I saw a sheet of paper that said, hey, these are your talking points for your press conferences. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, well, if they're paying you $120-some million to do this, you kind of got to do what they say a little bit, right? It's a little more strict. If they're paying you $120-some million, you're going to do what we say. We want you to say this. And it talked about golf and pride. There was not a single thing talking about money. Steer away from money. Steer away from this. You kind of got to listen to them, right? The Saudis, because you don't want your head chopped off, right? It's a little more strict.
Oh,
there.
Don't go there.
Listen, it's a little more strict there. You have to listen to them.
You don't want to be considered a non-guest in a
exactly
in a Saudi Arabia.
I like this league. I think it's going to be refreshing. I'm excited to watch it. Do I think it can last? I do. I think the PGA's got to figure out what the hell they're going to do, because they're also going to lose more names. I mean, you lost Ricky Fowler, you lost Bryson DeChambeau, you lost Dustin Johnson. You're about to probably lose. You lost Patrick Reed, but who gives a shit? You're probably going to lose Brooks Koepka at some point. Like I said, hell, his brother's making all that money and he's over here busting his ass every week and only making so much. You're probably going to lose Koepka. You're going to lose a lot of big names that you're going to get some of these people in these tournaments. You're like, who the hell's – who's the leader? Who? Where's Tiger? Tiger turned down $1 billion, but he's already earned over $1 billion with endorsements. I know some people have told me, well, Dustin Johnson's got over that money he's got a lot of money with all his endorsements. All that. That's true, but he's looking for a big payday where he can cash out and leave the league at some point. He's also got an extravagant life with an extravagant wife. So there's that as well. So I like this. I'm going to give it a shot and try it. Other leagues have tried these type of things, John, and have failed. For instance, we've talked the XFL, NFL thing, a competitive league. It's failed. We've talked football or USFL, that one as well. They've tried different things with NASCAR. IndyCar's tried a competitive league. CART, that failed. So, but the thing is with here, this is money-backed. It's open for the players to do. It's got a strong, strong backing. And I think the only way, John, this can fail is if somehow the Saudis just say, you know what? We can't do nothing with the money. We're out of money. You know, that's about the only thing I can think if it turns head. Because, like I said, the NBA takes money from China. That's corrupt, all that. The United States still takes a ton of gas from Russia and Saudi Arabia, right, and all that. But nobody turns ahead to that, do we? I mean, we're paying, what, $7 a gallon right now for gas? But nobody turns ahead to us taking money from these companies, these countries, and things like that. So who's to say, why is the PGA then got to say, well, I'm going to turn my head up at these guys because they're doing this. Well, they're not necessarily involved in it. They're playing
the
league.
Well, because you already know that's that arrogance with golf, though, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That's what that is. So I don't know, Brandon. I think we're gonna have to table this and probably talk about it again at some other time. This ain't going away. I think this does put pressure on the PGA, like you said, to do a little bit better. They might even start. I mean, again, if all these other named guys are going, who's to say who won't come up through the ranks and become that shiny new star? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think the competition, you know what I'm saying? I always say competition is good for the soul.
Breaking news, John. Cooper Kupp signs a 3-year, $80 million with the Rams, including $75 million of it guaranteed. So, Cooper Kupp.
Hey, I'd be honest with you, Brent. I got a text from one of our sponsors, Mavis Custom Motorsports, man. The owner just texted me. He said, where did the Rams get out? Are they printing money out there in California? How do they get – like, there's no such thing as a salary cap. Like, they just gave Aaron Donald a $45 million raise to stay for another 3 years. This was on top of a deal that he had just did, like, 2 years ago. So he's walking into, like, $90 million, right? And then you just get – I'm not saying none of these guys aren't deserving, you know what I mean? But, like, man, the Los Angeles Rams, like – you know, they didn't have any draft picks. They mortgaged all that. They got Stafford, you know, under contract. He wasn't cheap, you know what I mean, because he was under contract with the Lions.
Are the Saudis back in the Rams?
Man, you would think, man, like, dude, they got a lot of money flowing out there in L.A., man. So, wow. That's all you can say when, you know what I'm saying, when you hear something like that is wow.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Let's talk a little, by the way, finish off golf. Tiger Woods skipping the U.S. Open, which I thought he would be because the fact he's going to be preparing more for the Open Championship at St. Andrews, a little bit flatter of a course. So Tiger will be skipping that. NBA real quick, John, we'll dive it back into NBA. Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell wasn't happy with Quinn Snyder resigning in the direction of the Jazz are going. There's a report today that the Jazz are looking, as we talked, to trade Rudy Gobert and not trade Donovan Mitchell. But then also that they're interested in Terry Stotts and Frank Vogel as their head coach out there. So Utah Jazz, wow. Possible a couple different moves coming
wow.
on.
Wow. I'm happy. It was time just to kind of let it get blowed up, you know what I mean, as far as what they have right now. I can see why they want to keep Donovan Mitchell. I think he's actually played hurt the last couple postseasons. If anybody, I mean, again, a lot of little things add up over time, right? So him and Rudy Gobert's relationship has eroded probably since the bubble, which is what, like 3 seasons ago now. So again, it's just time to everybody kind of go their separate ways, right? Maybe Quinn, again, I'm just throwing out hypotheticals, but maybe they feel that Quinn has kind of lost the locker room, and like it would be, he doesn't necessarily want to start afresh with a new, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why Donovan Mitchell would either, but he doesn't want to necessarily start with a bunch of, you know what I'm saying, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. You know, but that's probably what's going to happen. Once you start talking about trading somebody like with the caliber, and he's an all-star. Rudy Gobert, and, you know, saying one time defensive player of the year.
The Bulls are interested.
You know, saying, you're talking about they're right. This team's definitely going to be interested. So whether it's Dallas or Brooklyn or, you know, say, or the Bulls, like you said, you know, there's going to be teams that are interested in him and his specific skill set. But it just kind of remains to be seen what kind of gets set, you know, established there going further. Because, like I said, usually when you have two budding heads on the team and it becomes unprofessional to where the media kind of finds out, that usually means somebody else is on their way out too, not just the coach. You know what I'm saying? So they're probably going to do, because, again, Donovan Mitchell, I'm not saying he's a once-in-a-lifetime type of player, right? But, again, you know what I'm saying? They're not, you know what I'm saying? The players have a lot of power in this particular league, but they're not necessarily going to let them run their locker room and everything else. If, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, you got to win. You got to win games. You got to win big games, too. And Utah hasn't done that probably since the bubble. You know what I mean? So it's going to be new paint on the walls come October, come the start of the season. If you're telling me Frank Vogel got a shot or Terry Stotts got a shot, like, that makes sense. Those guys are probably considered retreads to a lot of people. Those guys also have a lot of basketball knowledge in the, you know what I'm saying, between them. So, and I know that I think they're both of them deserving, because they're the last two jobs they kind of got fired. In the same way that Quinn Snyder kind of resigned, they got fired because of expectations of the front office. So it'll be good to see either one of them kind of get there in Utah. So changes are coming.
All our LeBron James haters, John, are having a heyday, because in a random barbershop insert, LeBron said, they asked him, if all the playoff teams, who would you want to play off the most? He said the Warriors. So everybody on Twitter, everybody ran off like, oh, LeBron wants to go play the Warriors. Go big. He wants to go play at the best. Who wouldn't want to go play with the Warriors? And then you start seeing the graphics of the pictures with LeBron. And stop it. He ain't going to the Warriors. The Warriors are going to be so much money in the luxury tax that they're going to be paying they're going to be paying the Simons family a fortune here soon.
Right, in luxury tax. Right, when you sent me that, when you first sent me that caption or whatever, I was like, man. So I just did it facetiously, man. I was like, well, they could trade Iguodala, Wiseman, Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? I know it's like dude. You know, I've never been to California, but there's a different level of playing in Los Angeles and playing in San Francisco for the Warriors, preparing those two different, even though there's a lot of championships kind of like flow through those particular programs, like there's a different level of money that kind of and prestige that comes playing with the Lakers. So LeBron just doing what LeBron does, talk, you know what I mean? You know, it ain't no crime that he said that, you know what I mean? But it's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. LeBron James, the Lakers, I said this before, because like crazy Stephen A. said, you know what I'm saying, and he's crazy when he said that the Lakers should think about trading LeBron James. And it just gets Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else kind of just talking. I'm like, dude, the Lakers wouldn't get a free agent if they did that. And because LeBron James does have no trade call, if they did that, they wouldn't get a top flight free agent for the next 10 years if you trade LeBron James. It's not going to happen unless he said, "Yo, trade me," but that's not going to happen. So,
right. Let's talk Hell in a Cell and WWE, John.
Absolutely.
Cody Rhodes, John. Damn great match with Seth Rollins. A third great. I thought it was one of the. I think it was the best match of the three they've had. And the fact that this dude did it with a torn pec, and you see, and I sent you that picture, and the dude shelled out.
Right. Right. I can't necessarily say it was a crap overall pay per view. I know a lot of times, you know, a lot of these pay per views with WWE seem real sanitized and like real, you know, not real predictable. And there was some predictions level to that as well, but sometimes you don't necessarily get their best effort. I would say this particular Hell in Cell 2022 was pretty good. I would, if I had to rate the overall pay per view, I'd give it B plus A minus, realistically. But like I said, you know, like you said, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins just tore it down. You know what I'm saying? Literally. And great match between those two. I technically got Cody as, I know I'm probably forgetting about somebody. I know somebody that listens to or watches the AEW or, you know what I mean, or watches any other independent wrestling or anything from New Japan is probably going to say, oh, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? I'm like, dude, Cody Rhodes, I think he has to be considered Wrestler of the Year. You know what I'm saying? With some of the performances he's put on in between both companies. If we remember some of the things that he did before he left AEW, so great match. It was on. I kind of watched it. I kind of sped through it again for a second. It was definitely, you know what I'm saying, worthy of watching. The storyline kind of kooky because Edge's new group won. I'm talking about.
So far, wild.
Edge's new group just won. Right, they went over, and then the next day, his group turns on him. So I thought that was kind of weird. But between Elias and Kevin Owens, I thought that was a pretty good match. I think
Ezekiel, not Elias.
It's Elias.
It's his brother.
Right, sure. Even though he had that weird Ultimate Warrior get up on, man, I'm like, what the hell?
He's representing, but, bro.
Yeah, he's representing. But even the ladies' match with Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch, I thought that was an excellent match. But yeah, they had some pretty good matches littered throughout overall. Cody and Seth kind of just took it to another level. And with him, you know what I'm saying, being banged up and hurt, like, man, like, you know, usually like WWE or any wrestling organization is trying to figure out like how they can, you know what I'm saying, get a fill in, even if that late. But like, man, he went out there and he put on a great show.
They've got might be the reason why they're also bringing John Cena back at the end of the month. Hope Cody can come back.
Oh yeah, how could I forget about him? Austin Theory, again, I wasn't necessarily a believer the first time I saw him. He's an NXT call up, I do believe.
Yeah,
but like, nah, man, I don't know about him going over on Cena. He's not there for me just yet, Brandon. Okay, not yet. Like, come on. I mean, I know Cena is an actor now and all those things, but like, come on, man. If you're gonna put him over, like that's not John Cena. That'd be too soon for me. But he's one of the bright, like, you know. I know I was supposed to just gloom and doom. Oh, WWE is going out of business. Like, did you see Stephanie Mann left? Did you see Triple H's? You know what I'm saying? But like, he's actually one of, from a performer standpoint, he's actually one of their bright points. And again, I think he's gotten better with his promos, got better with his in work ring, you know what I'm saying, ability. So like, yeah, man, I kind of look forward to looking at his matches. But like, I don't know about him going over on John Cena just yet. Not yet, not for me.
Okay. I still need to go see the new Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, so do I.
And I need to go see. Oh, Friday night I am going to see the new Jurassic Park. So,
okay.
Looking forward to that. Have you seen the Maverick one just yet? I've tried to stay away from spoilers as much as I could.
No, I have not. I have not seen it yet. So I'm behind on that one as well.
Okay. I don't think I have too much. I'm just trying to think. Oh, wide receivers, John. Let me give you a list of four wide receivers and give me the order that you would go on to re-signing them. If you were the team owner, the GM of the program, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and Deontay Johnson. Those are the last wide receivers with no deals yet, since Cooper Kupp signed. So with contracts ending. So Deebo, DK, Terry McLaurin, and Deontay Johnson. What order would you put on re-signing if you were GM saying, hey, these are the four you have to resign. What order do you have it?
You almost got to count that team by team. DJ Metcalf might be up out of there. I think he's probably the most talented one out of everybody you just mentioned.
Future Colt?
But I don't know. But do we got the capital to get him? I don't know. I know they got the cap space to get him potentially, but I don't know if they have the capital like to move. You know what I'm saying? Whatever piece to get him in a Colts uniform. I would say who needs to be signed would be Deebo Samuels, just because, again, he showed up at training camp when he said he was, you know what I'm saying, as he's still in some of a stalemate with ownership and in the front office about, you know, about getting a new contract. They probably want to pay him somewhere between a running back contract and a wide receiver, because he kind of uses both. But that particular team is still set to make a run.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that particular team is still set to make a run to get to the Super Bowl, right? They're just a healthy quarterback away, and they have two. And they have two. Once one of them gets up to speed in the rookie from last year, and then another one who's, you know what I'm saying, just kind of nursing off-season surgery, right? But, like, no, their defense is set. And as long as he's out there, he's a weapon that seemingly, like, you know it's coming, but you can't stop. So, you know, I would say he would be priority in sign. I just don't know what that number is. With Cooper Kupp, Brandon, I don't know what his number is, right? Cooper Kupp just got $75 million, somewhere close to $80 million. You can't. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but in NFL, like, you can't pay a running back / wide out $80 million. And I'm saying he's just as good as Cooper Kupp, but if you pay a running back $80 million, you're gonna regret it at some point, because they get too banged up too fast.
Just so you know, I did the math and looked it up. If the Cleveland Browns wanted to buy out Deshaun Watson, it's going to cost them a cap hit of $145 million.
Well, I don't think we're there at that point. I think some of us, we'll get back to our folks. What does that dude say? He's from NFL Podcast? Is that what he said the name of the show was?
Yeah,
He stole our thunder for like 2 minutes that he was on here. He also, like, name dropped a whole lot of other stuff and was like bad mouthed.
He did a lot of weird names, the Cleveland Clowns.
Well, shame on, if he's still listening or anybody else from his show still listening, shame on him comparing what happened with Deshaun Watson and what happened with Michael Vick. Again, Michael Vick, I get it. Like, dogs running the empire of, like, dog breed. You know, again, but convicted. He was convicted in court, right? This particular gentleman was not convicted in court. It's court of public, pending court of law, two different things. I also want to go back to what you said. I think at some point that he does play, but it just particularly, like, won't be this year. Because, again, we are how foolish can we really be to not think that everybody, there hasn't been any type of transparency. He was gone for the majority of all of last year. Didn't play a game, right? So if I'm not saying the NFL has the same level of investigation that the New York Post is capable of getting. The NFL, because we're talking about billionaires here, right? We're talking about a billion dollar organization. The NFL knows what's going on with this particular gentleman. His admission of guilt or whatever the case may be, whatever happened, with the Texans enablers, whatever. I know all those stories are out there, right? So then if everybody knows what it is, they just don't know, like, can he, because if I tell you what, Brandon, because I used to tiptoe around this one, Deshaun Watson, I'm saying it right here, I don't know if you want to sound clip this one at all later, Deshaun Watson is short with me on the moral, like the lifeboat, like that I would give somebody, like give this guy a second chance type, like his life preserver with me is like, it's done, man. You know what I mean? Like, again, even before like this last one kind of came out, right? But again, like we also, you know what I'm saying, this is, you know, guilty and proven innocent, and then he gets proven innocent, and then here we still are having this issue about, is he going to play? You know what I mean? So it's just, to me, because a regular person would have these charges against them and then they get thrown out, you'd be able to go to work the next day. You would. You or I would. You know what I mean? So, and I get it. They have morality calls in the NFL. So like, the NFL needs to either, A, come down immediately. Instead of letting ESPN try to plunk them into what, you know what I'm saying, or social media, whoever, to say,
right,
yo, Deshaun needs to go away for 5 games, 6 games, 8 games, whatever the case may be. Just do it. Quit waiting around for it. I think there might be some legalities around that, though, Brandon, because if I didn't commit a crime, then why am I being suspended? You see what I'm saying? If there's a gray area of whatever I did or didn't do, whatever, then why am I being suspended? So I think that's why the tiptoe is going around. Again, I see the text. I see what the people are saying about it, what was being revealed. You know what I'm saying? People get on these grandstands or more high hopes. They do. Brandon, they do it. Sometimes I don't think they're not doing it because they care. They do it for clicks. They do it for retweets. They do it because they want to get back into the matrix that is the Fox Sports and the ESPN. They do. You know what I mean? But because if everybody cared about, you know, saying certain things, then certain things wouldn't happen, not just with Deshaun Watson. I'm talking about at the regular base level with regular people. You know what I mean? So again, man, me throwing him a moral lifeline, I'm done with it. But again, I'm also I'm like, yo, if he's not guilty in the court of law, like suspending for 4 or 5 games and just be over with, so there's no longer continue to be a story, you know, that's how I see it. But I don't foresee a contract buyout at all.
Speaking of contracts, Kenny Moore is looking for a new contract. He's not happy. They talked about him sitting out, but he showed up to off-season workouts, was in there for about 10 minutes, and then sat out, quote, for precautionary reasons, is what Frank Reich said. So, John, do we need to give – is it worthy of a new contract right now, or should you finish out what you've got, and then we'll go to the top?
I think that's all a negotiation. So I don't think he gets a new contract. He still got 2 years remaining left on his contract, and I get it that when he first initially signed that contract, he was at this level. I know you can't see me, this is internet radio, right? But he was, like, probably at your waist, right? And he played – he kind of out – in his eyes and his representation, he outplayed that contract. So, again, made the Pro Bowl, all those things, right? Positive things. So he's like, well, you know, the NFL life, the shelf life of an NFL player is very short unless you're a quarterback. So how can you get the most money? You know, I think what ends up happening, Brandon, is that the Colts do him a solid and probably guarantee the last year of his contract for the full amount, which is, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of makes you, like, uncuttable, untradeable. It's kind of what's going on with – well, you can be traded, but, you know what I'm saying, it's almost like you have a no-trade clause if you're finally – it's kind of what's going on with Breaker Mayfield. If the NFL podcast was asking questions that he already knows the freaking answer to. But, like, yeah, Baker Mayfield does not necessarily have a no-trade clause, but his contract is guaranteed for the full amount. So a team trading for that, they'd have to pay the full amount of it. They'd be on the hook for it unless a deal is made between the two teams, and that's the real reason why Baker Mayfield hasn't been traded yet, because nobody wants to take on the full $16 million that he's doing. I think they do our guy a solid and probably guaranteed the final year of his contract, and that way, you know, he might end up getting an extension, but like a new contract that pays him upwards of like $20 million per season, that's not going to happen. Not with the Colts.
Okay. I've ran my gamut of questions and topics for the night and are the wildness. You know, every show has something. And this one just kind of went off the rails. And normally we're running it short on time. I mean, we could go up to 8:30, I've kind of run my topics.
Well, I mean,
so.
Did you watch any of the Grand Prix, or you was at work? You didn't get to see any of it, the Detroit Grand Prix?
No, I did not. I'm sorry. I was golfing. Okay. I golfed on Sunday afternoon. I actually played
well,
very, very
our
well.
Our homie Will Power won.
He
right?
did.
With Scott Dixon. Yeah, Scott Dixon came in third or whatever. My driver, the guy I like, Helio Castroneves, kind of had to bow out early with the mechanical issues. But, you know what I'm saying? I usually follow after the you know what I'm saying, the granddaddy of them all, after the, you know what I'm saying, the Indy 500. I usually watch a little bit I watch more racing, you know what I'm saying, going into the rest part of the top of the summer. I did not know that, and then I know Danny said it last week when he was on there talking with us. He said that they're not going to be racing at this venue next year. They'll be racing the street.
Yeah,
not on the streets, but like a different circuit. Dude, this place is beautiful. I thought it was.
Yeah,
okay.
Belle Isle is awesome. It's a great course.
Yeah. Yeah, right off the water. So, go ahead.
Is there a chance that Sting wins the Battle Royal tonight to go to the AEW Championship?
Man, I thought. No, I don't think he does though. But I'll be
he's in it right now.
Think,
I'm watching him.
Wasn't Ric Flair supposed to get last one more match?
Oh God, you think?
I think that's who should need that. That's who he needs to have. He was training. I follow Ric Flair on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah,
he's
supposed
training.
To fight Hogan in some independent scene, I thought.
Nah, man, nobody wants to watch that. It needs to be seen.
are you fine with Tony Khan and them saying, hey, we don't want Punk to strip the title, so we're going to have an interim champion? I hate the idea of an interim champion.
I hate it too, Brandon. We're going to agree with this one wholeheartedly, man. I hate interim champions. Like, dude, just take the title off of him. We get it that you're hurt, and just have a tournament. And then you run a program with the new champion, right? And then when CM Punk comes back, he's automatically the number one contender.
Who's the Joker? Who's going to be the Joker in this thing tonight? It's supposed to be some mystery guy. You think
what
it's Flair?
What current WWE guy is not wrestling for under contract?
Cody Rhodes?
No, it's not going to be.
The winner will face number one contender Moxley in the main event tonight for the shot at the interim world title at Forbidden Door against. Now, here's the thing somebody told me. Is the Joker tonight in this Battle Royal the last one to come out for this thing? Is it Husky? Husky Harris?
Stop it. No, it ain't him either.
The lights go out. We're here.
It could be. It can't be Husky Harris. He could be under his real name, Rotunda. But it could be because all the other Wyatt family members that play have made an appearance at AEW, so it could be.
Where are you at right now with the MJF Tony Khan? Are you finally starting to come on that it's a shtick?
I think now that it's a work because again he's under contract and they just Tony Khan just wants to push it to they want a level of a believability, something that's kind of been lacking in all professional wrestling. You know what I'm saying? A level of believability that he's really pissed at him, at Tony Khan, and Tony Khan's really pissed at MJF. And so they do things to take off his merch or whatever. There'll be some new merch pop up like next 2 weeks. Yeah, I think he's solid with the AEW for now, at least for the next two years.
Tyler Hero, I think we found the reason why he was playing so bad this year. Apparently he was going against his girl and his baby mama and dating and cheating on her. Because she outed all his stuff this week on Instagram. All of it.
Damn.
I mean, man size, a lot of stuff she outed.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe that's why. Brandon,
there's been a lot of dumbassery. I'm gonna use a catchphrase from our homie, JMV. He's
jackassery.
There's been a lot of dumbassery from what's his name, Miles Bridges. Sipping
yep.
lean on Instagram. That's got to be, dude, you're in a free agent. You potentially about to make between $55 and $75 million, and you telling the world that you're drinking alcohol with codeine in it. Man, real smart. So, like, yeah, a lot of dumbass comments, man, and moves in this offseason, man. Man, hopefully his team can reel some of that back in together because he couldn't get $5 out of me.
Two questions for you to end the show. And give me I'll give you 1 minute per answer. You got
uh-oh,
1 minute
uh-oh,
time
uh-oh,
limit per answer.
Gotcha.
The Boston Celtics will win tonight if they do what?
Al Horford and Marcus Smart give you the same kind of effort that you got in game one. So I say, 15 apiece out of them, and like maybe 8 or 9 boards and a block from Al Horford.
The Golden State Warriors will win tonight if
you get if you can reel in, because the crowd's gonna be on Draymond. The crowd.
I've already seen T-shirts in the crowd that said Draymond's a bitch.
I gotta find. I'm pretty sure the Boston fans were on. Bill and Beer 1 year, and he was like, he was went into a shell. This is before, they finally broke through, but like he just went to, I'll find the video for you, and I'll post it on the Crossroads Force Facebook page. But like, yeah, they're going to be on his head. And I'm not saying, hopefully there's not nothing racial or anything lowbrow, but again,
right.
I don't control the crowd. But Draymond, they're going to be on Draymond Green's head. But to answer you the question, so if you can get the best version of Klay Thompson, where he's not struggling and he's blowing by, and he potentially is hitting open shots, and and not bricking them, then they said go say what? I think that's gonna show up. I think that's gonna show. I think Jordan Poole might actually struggle just a little bit on the road. I got high hopes for Wiggins, believe it or not, but I if you get a good 28 point game out of Klay Thompson. The Warriors will roll again.
Do you think the Warriors? I think there's a chance if they can get better value. And do you think there's a chance that with as high as Andrew Wiggins has played this year with his talent level, that they could possibly trade him and try to get some value out of that?
They could. That would kind of be bad business. They brought him in when it was considered a bad deal, and because they saw value in what he could do.
I think
what happens is I don't want to make it all about injury. I think what happens with a lot of times when guys get drafted in, because they go to a big time program, Kansas, in this particular player's example, and because what he did at Kansas, you know what I'm saying, I think it was like 20-5 or 20-7 average, 20.7 rebounds, something like that, and people saw the potential, like that's why he was like, you know what I'm saying, a top draft pick or whatever. Just because you're a top draft pick does not necessarily mean, or an elite guy coming out of college does not necessarily mean you are the guy coming into the league. So, you know, he toiled a lot of years, him and Carl Anthony Towns toiled a lot of years together in Minnesota. And it just, I'm not going to say they didn't click. I'm just saying that they aren't the guy. They're not. I think he's, what did my man Stan Van Gundy would say? Stan Van Gundy said that Andrew Wiggins is probably the fourth best player on the championship team. And I think that's what he is. I think he's the fourth best player on any other team that's not necessarily going about their business about winning championships. I think he could be a number two or number three. But on this championship, on the championship, he's a solid number four that's going to get you buckets, that's athletic, is going to and he has a defensive buy-in that we didn't see in Minnesota. So, you know, okay. I don't think – so to answer your question, I don't think they make a trade at all, unless something behind the scenes and he don't want to play in San Francisco anymore. But I think they see value in having him there.
Okay. We never even talked about this, and I just thought about it, so I wrote it down. Do you know what the most favorite meal is in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I do not. Is it sushi? I thought it was something vegetarian.
Apparently it's ham and eggs, because the Lakers decided to go out and get Darvin Ham as their head coach. John, I don't believe in it. Stop it. He's not going to do any better than what Frank Vogel did with that program. It was a dud of a hire.
It's weird because this. I mean, I think he said, I watched his press conference though, Brandon. So watching his press conference, you become more of a believer, and you'll see that he's not just an assistant. Okay, if that makes sense. So I encourage you and anybody else who doesn't necessarily believe in the hire to seek it out. It's on Lakers Twitter. It's on Lakers Facebook, Instagram, all those things, and you can see him talking. But what's weird to me though, Brandon, is that mainstream media, and like I said, Barbershop Talk, just, you know, he said the exact same thing that Frank was saying. We got to play Russell Westbrook. He kind of pointed at Russell Westbrook and getting Anthony Davis. He didn't necessarily say LeBron, because he said, you know, so once you got LeBron, you got to walk on eggshells sometimes. If you got hired, you might get fired 9 games in. It's possible. It has happened before, right? But, like, no. He was saying things like, we got to play better defense. We got to play like we want to play, like night in, night out. And, like, I felt like Frank Vogel said that. I really did. I felt like he wanted the best defense. Like, you know, they wanted to take a little bit more offensive firepower out of Russell Westbrook's arsenal. And, like, yo, we don't necessarily need you to be, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Triple-Double. We need you to be Mr. Clutch. And I know that's wild saying that, because like this the entire year in LA, Russell Wilson, shame on you, Jonathan. Russell Westbrook didn't look like a shell of himself. You know what I'm saying? You go 2 years prior, even back with Washington, even back with Houston, like he was still putting up, you know what I'm saying, great numbers and great and shooting effectively. There were some times that you're like, oh my God, Russell, what are you? You know what I mean? Like Jonathan can outshoot you right now. You know what I mean? But Coach Ham was talking about having Russell Westbrook on the team, like going into training camp and playing for. I don't think that happens at all. I don't. So he knows how to play the media. You know, what I'm saying, say the right things in front of the media when the cameras come on.
But there, I don't think that those pieces for me and what I know about basketball and how LeBron needs the ball in his hand, how Russell needs the ball in his hands to be effective, I don't think that happens at all. And I think they find a home for Russell at some point.
Okay. Okay. I mean, put the band back together like we said earlier. Put the band. What else we got? I'm just trying to think. Boston Celtics are 3.5-point favorites tonight in the game. Spread has not moved since it came out, which means the Vegas did get it right with the 3.5. I took Celtics money line tonight. I still think Golden State wins the series, but it'll be interesting to see. And by the way, there's no chance that Draymond doesn't get kicked out tonight, right? I mean, he has to get kicked out. He's gonna be ejected.
Why isn't that on FanDuel? Why is that or Fox Bet?
Dude, I looked for it everywhere on prop bets. I can't find it anywhere.
Well, we shall see what we shall see here in a little bit.
I thought I just saw Kofi Kingston on AEW, but it was a different guy. So, I thought it was him. John, any last things from you, my man? It's been a great show.
It has been a great show, man. I want to say thanks to D-Cot. I want to thanks to Reggie for calling in. Number one A, our callers for calling in. I want to say thanks to our homie Justin Powell. He's been on the live chat chiming in with different facts and figures as well. I want to say thank you to NFL Podcast. For, you know what I'm saying, I guess they should say thank you to us because we came onto their show and rocked the party for them, right? But, like, nah, man, we had a great show today. How could we do it without our sponsors, Matt Weathers, Mavericks Motors, Custom Sports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, or Three Wise Men Logistics? Man, please support our sponsors. Go check out hit the links on our page. Check them out. They might have something that, you know what I'm saying, they offer, whether it's shipping, insurance, or customs. I'm sure they got something that you're interested in, I promise you. So without that being said, me and Brandon, what's that?
Hold
what's
on.
That
we got some controversy in the NBA Finals already.
What's the problem? I was ready.
Well, the Golden State Warriors have filed a complaint with the NBA, the league and the officials that the rim looked too high on their end of the court. For the game tonight, and the NBA went up there, and the officials went to do it, and it turned out it was 2 inches off from what it's supposed to be.
Oh, wow. So you mean tell me in Boston, where Tom Brady and Bill Belichick
had
deflated balls, we got inflated rims? Are you kidding me?
Uh-oh. I'm just saying.
Deflategate.
But, yeah, so it shows, there's a Twitter video of them trying to go up there and measure and redo the things. Listen, Boston's trying to get any little advantage they can. I don't blame them.
Well, those officials have a lot of integrity, man. They'll get it rectified. I'm sure this is cooling down. Where's our homie Tyler Ford at? He's not at the game, is he?
No, he's on vacation. He didn't get the finals games. John Foster did, though. But tune in, guys, tonight. Game 3 NBA Finals. If you're listening to the podcast after tonight, then, well, you already know what the result is. We love you. Next week, housekeeping, no show on Wednesday. Probably going to be a Monday show, I think, John. I'll talk to you more, and we'll get the stuff out there. Probably going to be a Monday show. My schedule's a little wonky, I think, next week. I have to confirm that, but the way I believe it looks. So other than that, John, thanks to our callers. Thanks to our sponsors. It was a wild show. Never disappoints. So we'll see you guys again next week. Keep on with us on Twitter and on Facebook. Keep the conversation going. We'll see you guys there.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.